Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. It comes from you, so it's beautiful, no matter if the sun's shining or if it's pouring down rain and dark as can be. It's still beautiful because it's your day. And Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here today, Lord. And I ask you to speak through me and just have your way in this service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, good morning. Good morning. I haven't talked to you for a little while, so I'll give you a minor rundown of life. Let's see. Parker is actively looking for a full-time job and doing a part-time job that he has a chance of getting as a full-time job. And he's doing all kinds of other jobs on the side a little bit. So that's good. He's moving forward with his future. Yep. Jackson is a junior in college now. And he is studying psychology. And remember Jack. You know, God did a miraculous thing for him when he was sick. And, you know, I kind of feel like Jack's at the point in his life where he thinks he's got some things figured out and he doesn't really have some things figured out. God's got him. And he'll take care of him, and he'll straighten him out, and he'll get him where he wants him to be. Yep. And I trust that. And Holden's a senior in high school and working and rapidly approaching the end of his high school life, which he's looking forward to, I have a feeling. And Sam is in the eighth grade, and he's got plenty of school left to go. Lucky him. And Thor is the dog of the house, and he's still a dog. And he lives to be a mooch and eat whatever you're eating, which is just like every other dog ever born in this world. And he's kind of a funny one because he eats bananas and apples, and he ate some broccoli the other night we gave him, and he eats a little bit of every kind of crazy thing. Joe likes him a lot, and the kids do. I think he's okay.
Unlike my daughter, she doesn't like what you put out in front of
Joe. There's not much I have seen that he won't eat. He didn't eat blueberries one day. They fell on the ground because I don't think they smelled like anything. He ate a couple, but he didn't really care for those too much. But and then Joe is still working away at work, trying to be a good friend and, dare I say, priest to some of her coworkers who she hears their problems, and they talk to her about issues going on with their families, and she brings them here and prays for them, and we pray for them, and, which is a good thing. And I'm still working plenty. We're still plenty busy, which is a good thing. God's blessed us with consistent jobs that haven't dried up and haven't had many ups and downs. That's good. Joey and I are rapidly approaching our 30th wedding anniversary in October. And in a couple weeks, me and her are going on a trip. We're going to drive from Seattle to San Diego on the Pacific Coast Highway. and see all that there is to see, all of God's beautiful creation out there. Try to stay away from some of the weird people he's created out there, but we want to see his beautiful creation that he's made. We got to drive through there, but we're not planning on staying too long. But, you know, if you would, we're leaving the 7th of October, so you can remember us while we're there that we don't have flat tires or crazies chasing after us in a car. But I'm just kidding. We'll be fine. And we'll enjoy our time together. Yeah, somebody will keep an eye on them. They're pretty self-sufficient, but we'll have some help with that. Okay. So, you know, a few years ago, I don't remember how many years ago it was, God gave me a message, you know, and I think I titled it, Choose Joy, and I talked to you about joy, you know. Brenda remembers it. Yeah.
She said she saw a thorn in me and it said, choose joy.
There you go. So he gave me a message called that one time a couple years ago. And, you know, I've heard people talk, you know, before about joy and about the fact that joy is more important than happiness, you know, and that joy is something that's deep down in you and it comes from God. And I agree with that completely. But shouldn't happiness be a byproduct of that joy? I feel like it should. I was listening to a lady give a testimony the other day, and she said something that kind of stuck out to me. But I want to read you what Isaiah 61:10 says. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. I read a quote from a guy, his name was Blaise Pascal, and he said, happiness is neither within us only, or without us. It is the union of ourselves with God. And I thought that was pretty good. The other day, I heard a man talking, and he said, if you feel dog tired at night, he said, it may be because you growled all day long. I thought that was kind of funny. You know, it really kind of hurts me to see and to meet so many joyless, unhappy people. And boy, the world's full of them. And none of us are perfect, and none of us are happy all the time or joyful all the time, but if you have that joy of the Lord down in you, and he's, you know, blessed you with the ability to feel happy most of the time, it really is obvious when you're around people who aren't. So, I'm going to ask you, and, you know, I'm asking you, but I'm also asking whoever else may hear this at some point in time. You know, let me pause right there for a second. I had a dream. I've been dreaming a lot lately, which probably means I'm sleeping good. I don't sleep a long, long time, but I sleep. Joey will tell you I fall asleep in about 8 seconds every night, and that's no lie. I always tell her, I'm going to try to go to sleep, and she says, yeah, I think you'll be okay. And I fall asleep in about 8 seconds. And I've been dreaming lately. I've been dreaming crazy stuff. I've been just things that are just kind of, I don't know how your mind works, you know. I dreamed I was in our old house on West High Street the other day, and Holden was lifting up my dresser with a pallet jack and cracked a big crack in the wall, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, so anyway. Well, the other day, I woke up Thursday morning with a, you know, occasionally you dream things and you aren't at all expecting it, and it's just so enjoyable. You know, I dreamed of my grandmother one time a while back. I can think of her anytime I want to, but dreaming of her is a different thing because you're not really in control of how that's going. And I was able to talk to her, and I was able to give her a hug, and I talked to her. And that just, when I woke up that day, it just made me happy, you know. Well, the other morning I woke up, and you guys remember when I talked to you about my friend Gary at work. I told you about Gary and the goat. I dreamed of Gary the other morning. And from where I stand at work, there's a set of lockers right here in front of the bathroom that kind of stick out in the aisle, and then there's a, you can go behind it and the bathroom's back there, and there's some lockers over here. Well, I've noticed a couple times in the last week or so that Gary's name is written, it's been there forever, but his name is written on a piece of tape on his locker still. And it has caught my eye two or three times in the last week or so. So I'm sure I probably was kind of thinking about him, and then I dreamed about him the other morning. And that was enjoyable. And you know, if you remember when I told you about him, I kind of told you that, you know, he was really struggling with pain and he kind of seemed to lose his joy and he wasn't very happy much. He didn't have a lot to say, and then he ended up taking his own life, you know. So it was nice to see him in the dream because he was putting his coat on over by the door. And I looked up and I said, oh, there's Gary. And he was putting his coat on and he was talking and laughing. And when he'd get to talking and laughing, he'd be moving, you know. And it's like, it did my heart good to see him over by the door in my dream, you know. So this morning I put, this is an orange marble that I have. It's got nothing to do with the Bengals, although they could use any kind of help they can get. But after Gary died, his nephew gave my boss a box of marbles that Gary had because he loved marbles. And he told us we could all take some, so I took one of Gary's marbles. So I saw that in my drawer this morning, so I put that in my pocket just because I was thinking a little bit about him. And then as I was kind of thinking about this, it made me think about him even a little bit more. So anyway, so like I said, I'm going to ask you this question, kind of, and then whoever may hear this, and in honor of Gary, maybe someone will hear this that needs to hear this, you know. Which of these two groups do you fall in? I will be happy when, or I am happy because. Now, I know that I will be happy when is familiar to all of us. And hopefully that's not where you preside at the moment. So I kind of was looking at this yesterday, and I will be happy when God's discipline in my life is done. When he's taking you to the woodshed for something. When he's correcting you. Have you ever felt like that? I'll be glad when this is over. I'll be glad when he's done knocking me upside the head, even though I deserve it. So, in Job 5, 17 to 27, it says, the subtitle here says, God chastens his children. It says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh.
At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. And then, excuse me while I turn here. In Hebrews 12, six to 17, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be the partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who is for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So the fact of the matter is, God disciplines us. But he does it because he loves us. And he does it because we need it and we have to have it. I will be happy when my suffering is over. First Peter 4, 12 to 14 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." You know, every one of us has suffering of some kind in our life. Some of us, it's way more, and some of us, it's way less. And sometimes it doesn't really make sense why someone seems to suffer so much and someone else doesn't. But we have to trust God that he knows just what he's doing. I will be happy when my trouble is over.
Who here hasn't found themselves in trouble? Self-inflicted or not.
Second Corinthians 4, 7 to 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which were alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I will be happy when my persecution is over. Matthew 5, 10 to 12 says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye men who shall revile, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Romans 14, 22 and 23 says, Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I don't know if I've ever heard that. Those two scriptures. I'm not sure. So when I read 22, that really jumped off the page to me. Because he's telling us here, don't condemn yourself for something that God has allowed. You know why? Because all that does is creates a false sense of persecution that can become unbearable to you. And I got one more for you here. I will be happy when my lack is over. Is what you're lacking in this life or living without preventing your happiness? Preventing your joy from showing forth as happiness? In Philippians, four, six, and seven says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, those were just a few things that, you know, I saw that were talking about your blockers to happiness. And I would imagine that every one of us has used one of those excuses in our life at some point in time and growled our way through our days as we were doing it. Now, the other group is the one that we want to get to. Now, you know, those were all negative, but God had a positive response for each one. He had truth to tell you about each one of those false things that you can let get in your way. And then I thought, okay, I am happy because of the fear of God. And that's not a, oh, I'm afraid. That's a respect. That's a reverence of God. So, Psalm 128 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. That yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. And you know, I can tell you that I know that God has blessed me with the fruitful vine of a wife. And he's given me some robust plants that are growing around my table. They're all still growing, and I don't know what God's going to do with all of them, but I trust him. I am happy because of my trust in God. Proverbs 16, sure, 16:20-24. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And then 1 Timothy First Timothy 4, 10 and 11 says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe. These things command and teach." And then the last one I think that I have, I have two more. "I am happy because of my obedience to God." So, John. John 13. So this was after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. He said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." And Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." He became the author of eternal salvation if you will only but obey him. I heard someone the other day and they said, obedience brings a breakthrough. So I thought, do I love God? Yes, I love God. The first duty of love is to listen. That's something good to remember right there. Whether that's concerning God, whether that's concerning your mate, your children, your friends. The first duty of love is to listen. Listen to God. Obey his commands. And you are guaranteed a breakthrough in this life. Now what that means for you, I can't tell you. But I'll take a breakthrough from God. I'll trust that it's going to be something good. And then I think this is the last one I have for you. Make sure. "I am happy because of wisdom's ways." Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 13 to 24. And in my Bible, it's subtitled, "Wisdom is Precious." It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are always of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life." Now, I'm going to pause right there at 17 for a second. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Does that mean we're never going to have a problem or an issue? Or no. But are we going to be able to walk through those issues with pleasantness and peace? Absolutely.
She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. I want you to listen to 24 closely here. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. There's a lot of people out there that lie down at night in fear. They're restless and they're uneasy. And I love that verse 24 there promises sweet sleep. There's a difference in sleep and sweet sleep. Sweet sleep, you wake up feeling refreshed and renewed and ready to face anything. The joy of the Lord is my strength, as it's written in Nehemiah 8:10. Happiness that's obvious to a miserable, hurting world should be the result of that joy. I read a list of these suggestions to help with happiness, and it was on some health website or something. I just happened to see it. And one of them was a smile. One of them was to get plenty of sleep. Sleep sweet. Sweet sleep is the best sleep to get, by the way. One of them was to practice gratitude. Forget about the lacks that you feel like you have. What am I lacking? And one of them said, breathe deeply. And I thought, yeah, don't sigh deeply out of frustration, which I catch myself doing from time to time, especially at work. I'm the only person I'm sure that's ever sighed deeply at work over some frustrating, stupid, and idiotic thing that you're dealing with. But you know, I was thinking about that song that we sing, Frank, you know, you are the air I breathe. That's the breathing deeply we need to breathe. We need to breathe the breath of who God is. And take in as much of him as you can. You know, I know when you're having anxiety issues and all kinds of things, that sometimes breathing extremely deeply helps a lot. It helps to calm you down and slow you down. And so joy comes from the Lord, I know that. And joy is more important than happiness. I would admit that. But today I want you to know that I'm encouraging you to allow that joy to bloom as happiness that can be an example to a hurting world out there, okay? So that's all I have for you today. That's the direction God took me in, and I trust that someone will hear this that needs to hear it. I know I needed to hear it, so I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are an unending supply of joy. That is who you are. You want to fill us with your love and your joy until it just oozes out of our pores. When that happens, Lord, we are the best reflection of you that we can be. Not the frustrated, aggravated, reflection of what the world already feels like. We don't need to show them more of what they already feel like, Lord. We need to show them what you're all about. So, Lord, I just ask you to help us. Help us to manifest the joy that's inside of us and for it to come out and to just be so appealing to those around us that they can't stand not knowing why you can feel and be the way that you are. Because it's all about you. So, Lord, I just ask you to bless all my brothers and sisters. I ask you to keep your hand on my parents as they come home from their trip to the funeral. And I just thank you for your words, Lord, because they're spirit and they're life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.